It's always a pleasure coming here to Shalva for Women. Pleasure seeing one of the greatest mechanchim that Am Yisrael is gifted with, Rav Goldsmith, and a close friend. And it's a pleasure spending the time with you. Such a fantastic, amazing group of young women. And I thank you. Thank you very much for thank you for the invitation. And it's really a pleasure to be here. As the sheets are going around, I'll start off. Actually, one more mentioning that it's very special for me to be able to have the opportunity. I think it's the first time in a setting like this that along with, we have another addition. It's also Shalavim for Women. My daughter grew up in Shalavim. And so that's Shalavim for, she's a real, you know, Shalavim for Women from birth. Now living in Yerushalayim, but, so I'd like to welcome my daughter as well. Great to have the opportunity. So I wanted to speak tonight about the situation that we are in. This situation of Chodesh Cheshvan, of course. What other situation? The start of Cheshvan, celebrating Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan this week, and the Gemara on Ta'anit, Daf Chav Gimel, Amud Aleph, upper right hand side of the sheet. Amar Rav Yehuda Barei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, Kishem Mishenichnas Av Mima'atim B'Simcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. So we're not talking about Av, and we're not talking about Adar right now. But the reason that we mention that is because what this Gemara shows us, points to very clearly, is the fact that every month has a certain personality. It has an essence to the month. It has a certain message that we are meant to try to tap into. So for a month like Adar, on one hand, bubbling over with simcha, with laughter, with tzchok, it's maybe a little bit more clear, easy to tap into the message of the month, what we're trying to begin, what we're trying to hear. For a month like Av as well, in a very different kind of direction, we understand, we're waiting for that hipuch to turn around Be'ezat Hashem in the future. But for now, we hear the message of Av. Nisan, there's a message, the birth, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the birth of Am Yisrael. The month of Cheshvan is a little bit more challenging, or maybe we can even say, maybe the most challenging month to tap into, to hear. Because of the fact that it's really the silent month. The month without any chagim that are giving us a clear indication of its essence. So how are we to understand the message? What ideas should we be trying to understand in a little bit more deeper, a sophisticated way when it comes to this realm of silence? So in Pirkei Avot, we have the famous Mishnah, Shimon Beno Omer, Kol Yamai Gadalti Bein HaChachamim V'lo Matzati Laguf Tov Ela Shtika. Which already from the start shows us that there's something very interesting happening here. Because when we just start at a very preliminary point, thinking about the benefits of silence, a message of silence, what take-home teaching is there from silence, life advice for a Jew from silence? So at first we can start off with the side, often we associate the advantages of silence with sur meira, and that definitely is true. Being careful not to listen to Lashon Hara, being careful not to speak, not to be around, when not to speak and listen to, not being in a conversation of Lashon Hara, not speaking in an inappropriate way, in a crude manner, nivul peh. Speech has a value, as we just saw back when we were all together in Shalavim, on the other Shalavim, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. We saw how many times on Yom Kippur, how many al-chaits were connected to speech. So you notice that there's so many of the al-chaits that connect to some kind of something being off in the way that we speak. So therefore, be careful with your speech, and sometimes biting your lip, biting your tongue, has value to it. Not to speak, not to get involved in negative dibur. So that's definitely true. Let's call that level one of the benefit or a message, a positive message of silence. But that is definitely also under the category of sur meira, moving away from the negative. What this Mishnah tells us is that there's more to it than that. We're talking about Mishnah, we're talking about Tanaim, we're talking about Chachamim. And the wisest of men tell us, Kol yamai gadalti ben ha-chachamim v'lo matzati laguf tov el ashtika. It seems that there's something else, an additional level, an additional dimension here to the benefit of silence. So the Maharal has many svarim. One of his svarim is called Derech Chaim. And in the Maharal's Derech Chaim, he elaborates, it's a perush in essence, on Pirkei Avot. And on this Mishnah, I'm not going to go through the whole piece of Maharal here that you have on the sheet, but let's start off. We should hear good news. B'surot tovot. Baruch ata Adonai Eleinu Melech Haolam. Sha'akol niyeh b'dvaro. So Maharal tells us, U'peirush lo matati laguf tov el ashtika ratza lomar b'mesh ha'adam. This is a little bit abstract, as many ideas, if not most ideas in the Maharal, a little bit abstract, out there, a fine point. So let's fasten our seatbelts, dive into the world of spirituality of the Maharal. B'mesh ha'adam balguf yafelo hashtika. The Maharal picks up on the lashon here. V'lo matzati laguf tov el hashtika. There's something here relating to the balance, the sensitive balance, delicate balance within man of body and soul. Of guf, lo matzati laguf tov el hashtika. B'mesh ha'adam mal guf yafe lo hashtika. Why? V'ze ki hadibur hu nefesh hamidaberet asher nefesh hamidaberet hu koach gufani. Speech, Maharal says, is physical activity. Now, parenthetically, we'll mention that there is talk amongst different commentaries. There's something, sometimes in certain contexts, speech is taken as somewhere in between physical and spiritual. Because words, speech, are not, the words themselves are not tangible. You can't weigh them, you can't measure them. As opposed to everything which is actually physical, you can weigh and measure. And things that, on the other hand, are totally spiritual, removed from any kind of physical definition, are removed. We don't have any contact with it. Speech is somewhere in the middle, but here, I want to be clear about this point, here the Maharal is relating to the physical side of speech. The mouth is moving and we hear words. So the Maharal tells us, but at the same time, again, it's very closely related to inner man. It's sort of, it's an expression. Speech is an outward physical expression of things that are going inside of us, an expression of inner man. So the two points of inner and outer are meeting. So says the Maral. Again, v'zeh ki adibur hu nefesh hamidaberet, asher nefesh hamidaberet hu koach gufani. Speech is a physical act. Sha'adibur koach gufani ve'einu sichli legamri. Okay, again, in Maral terminology, the opposite of the guf is the secha. Body, we said body and soul. So it's guf, and the Maral word then for soul is secha, throughout the writings of the Maral. Lekach, so therefore, well, what's the Maral getting at? Lekach ra'ui lo hashtika shelo yavo lidei ta'ut v'shibush ki ka'asher hu po'el b'koach ha'dibri mevatel koach ha'sichli. Therefore, because speech is physical, therefore, if you're trying to focus in on that inner man on the side of the sichli, the neshama connected to the seichel, then wait, hold off on the speech. Don't interrupt that seichel process by letting the physical activity of speech interfere. Let it build up, let it develop, let it blossom before you turn it into something concrete and physical. Again, those last few words that are on the line, ki kasheru po'el b'koach ha'dabri mevatel koach ha'sichli. The physical interrupts, cuts short sometimes, the koach ha'sichli, k'mo she'idbar b'samuch. Lekach yishtok, therefore be quiet, v'yiyeh po'el b'koach ha'sichli, asher eino gufani, k'mo shehu koach dabri, shelo yimalit min ha'ta'ut. Therefore, again, don't interrupt, as we said, don't interrupt the process. Let the seichel blossom. Let the inner thoughts, the inner workings of that you have inside of you develop properly, and then you will escape ta'ut. V'yesh ladat, there's a few more lines we'll see here. Ki ha-seichel v'ha-guf hafachim zeh lazeh. Body and soul, even though they have to work as a very in a very close partnership, they're opposites. V'lefikach amar ein laguf tov ela shtika. V'lo amar lo yafel laguf hadibur. Ki lo mitzar hadibur hu chisaron. Rak sheyafel lo hashtika kedei sheyuchal lif'ol b'koach hasichli. It's beneficial. It's beneficial for the process. If man is quiet and doesn't interrupt, וזה בלמד כי כאשר ישתוק האדם אז השכל פועל פעולתו. When we're quiet, we let the seichel do its thing. It's po'el pulato. It does what it's supposed to do. It doesn't, there's a term in Hebrew for someone who's sometimes a hedyot, a simpleton, who's kofetz l'rosh, who moves to a front very important position, and that's not where you should be jumping to. Like a guy who just walks in, there's some kind of conference going on, and you have the top 10 most serious nuclear physicists in the world at this science conference, and then you have just someone walking in from the street, just started first semester of physics, walk into the conference and walks up to the dais and sits down at the dais there next to the 10 professors of physics. So it's a hediot kofetz l'rosh. You're out of place. You're out of zalabim makom. It's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. So the goof also has to know its place, and don't be a hediot kofetz. Don't jump in. Let wait a little bit. Respect for the seichel, for the inner workings. Let them develop. That sometimes you're in situations where you're trying to explain something to someone, and sometimes you can have it could be challenging because they're just not listening at all. They're not with you. They're distracted and they're not with you. So you're trying to get their attention. I'm trying to explain something. So you're trying to, sometimes though, you're trying to explain something to someone and they don't know about whatever it is that you're trying to explain to them. But the problem is that, right, they're always telling you, yeah, I know, I got it, I know, yeah. But they don't know you. They don't know. That's Hediot kofetz l'rosh. So jumping up is, and whoa, wait a second. Take a step back. The first step towards knowing is knowing that you don't know. Then you can begin to know. So that's the message here to the goof, to enable the goof itself, with all due respect, in sincerity, with all due respect to you, goof. But wait a second. Patience. Don't interrupt. Let the process of the seichel develop. It's for the goof itself, it's beneficial. You will gain from it. You'll be able to work in a higher level partnership together with the seichel. If you wait right now, don't start speaking right away. Don't start in here, in that example, that's mamash kipshuta, the speaking. Yeah, I know. Don't speak. Don't, I know. And don't speak, even speaking about the idea. Wait, listen. Right now, the gvura of restraint. Hold off. There's amongst the Chinese, there's a famous expression. Those who know do not speak, and those who speak do not know. That's the idea that the Maharal is speaking about here. It's not true in absolute terms, because that takes us to the next piece in Rav Kook, to the right of the Maharal. Rav Kook has many Sfarim as well. It's like Maharal has many Sfarim, and we chose one as Perish on Pirkei Avot. Rav Kook has many Sfarim, and this is from something, again, it's in the, even a lot of Rav Kook is abstract, and this is, how do you say, abstract. He wrote it later on in life, at the end of his life, and usually people's level of insight gets more and more sophisticated. So a lot of ideas in Orot HaKodesh. He has a lot of different Sfarim connected to the word Orot. So Orot HaTshuva, Orot, regular Orot, about a lot of it are connected to Eretz Yisrael, which was written mostly in Rav Kook lived from 1865 until 1930. Again, some historical context. So Rav Kook did not say Halal on Yom HaTzmaut, right? Rav Kook was Nifter in 1935 and the state was established in 1948, okay? So Rav Kook was Nifter in 1935. In 1917, he wrote Orot. Orot HaKodesh, he wrote later on in life, and here he has a paragraph talking about our topic, about silence in Orot HaKodesh, and it very much ties in with what the Maharal was speaking about. Rav Kook writes, Hirus, it's poetic. Hirus gadol ba b'ma'archei haruach. Great, what's Harris? Destruction comes to ma'archei haruach, the frameworks, the systems of the spirit. Kishimofia, when? What brings this destruction? If what? Kishimofia ha'or ha'pnimi shel et l'chashot. If, right, this pasuk, et l'chashot ve'et l'daber. We just read, and most of us heard on Sukkot, on Shabbat Chol HaMoed. It's a time to be silent and a time to speak. So tremendous destruction, says Rav Kook, comes to the system of the spirit if at a time of kshmofia or aprimi shalait l'chashot, when there's a hofa, an appearance of the inner light, or aprimi, the inner light, of eight l'chashot, of a time to be silent, and this holy silence, and all of its glory, fills the soul. So when will there be tremendous destruction to this holy, exalted silence that fills the soul? If man will rebel against it, the yifrotz l'daber, and will break in and speak, merida zub malchut hadomia, this rebellion against the kingdom of silence, the malchut hadomia, kingdom of silence, machrevet et kol binyanav, it destroys all of the building, all of the construction, the building that had been taking place beforehand. And he continues on with some more poetic expressions. And then the next point that's paragraph, the next part that line is paragraph, that's underlined at the end of that paragraph. V'hamaskil ba'et ahi, the person who's wise, who has seichel, at that time, ba'et ahi, yidom, will be silent. And will give respect, will appreciate the silence, and, well, like you said, as we said before, will know that they don't know. And let the process develop, whether it's in thought or in spirit. Let's appreciate that there's something happening here without breaking in. Sometimes that gets a little bit awkward. Okay. The silence sometimes gets a little bit uncomfortable. And we're not totally, as physical beings, we're usually pulled towards speech because we are often very comfortable with the physical, because we can weigh it, we can measure, we can define it. And as soon as we start to drift off to the little bit of the unknown, it gets a little bit shaky. Sometimes we run away from silence. I'm just thinking, my father-in-law, Hal's grandfather, just literally off the press yesterday, came home with a book safer, once half English, same material, half English, half Hebrew. Rachel, actually, I didn't realize when I started, worked on the editing and translation, and was with some of it regarding speaking in shul. My father-in-law is a psychologist, and he lives in, my in-laws live in Nofi alone, and for many years already he's had this, he does a lot of things, and a side topic that already before he made Aliyah, when they lived in back in America, in New York, in Woodmere, he was very invested in this topic of talking, the issue of talking in shuls and trying to get shuls. He wrote something, he spoke about it, and he wrote a paper that circulated, I remember, back in the beginning, beginning of the 90s, I think it was, that was circulated amongst many shuls in America, Dr. Levitz's work regarding the issue of talking in shuls. So he just put out a sefer this week on it, and one of the things that he mentions there is connected to this point of sometimes we're running away from, as a psychologist, he's a former rabbi and a psychologist, a part of it is also looking for the psychological reasons why people talk in shul. And if you're aware of it, sometimes we can then confront it and deal with it. So there are many, many different reasons. Sometimes people just don't know, they're not familiar with halacha. So part of it is halacha, talking about the halachic issues of talking in shul. But part of it is also psychology, and part of it is emotional and spiritual. And it's this point is, again, it's a side point, but there's something here spiritually where we sometimes run away from silence, and we take an easier way out. Sometimes start talking. You see, sometimes when someone is in an awkward situation, they start babbling and they just start rambling on and on. That's also connected here. Don't be a hedyot kofes l'rosh. Let respect for that inner world, for the seichel, let it develop properly. So let's call that level two. We started with level one. Of the value of silence, of keeping away sur mira, keeping away from the problematic speech. Level two is the combination of body and soul, outer man and inner man, and working out that balance. Then it's a lifetime challenge working out the balance. Sometimes we go to the other extreme, and we're too quiet. Sometimes we're talking Sometimes we're talking too much and cheapening ourselves. When we let the process develop and we can express, you know, that's the last couple of lines here in Rav Cook's piece. Now we're not on the other side. I don't know if you know this, but on the other side of Shalvim is in the Ayalon Valley. The Yeshivat Shalvim is in the Ayalon Valley. You know, you're familiar with that? Okay? On the other side of the valley, okay, the opposite side of the valley from the yeshiva, there's some chevra that go in an extreme direction which is distorted. On the other side of the valley is, the Ayalon Valley is the Latrun Monastery. So there's a silence in the monastery which just remains, taking the silence to the extreme. Arasov. And that, then you lose out on the process, because the point is not just to remain silent. But what are you about the morale and Rav Kook is saying is at the time that the seichel is doing its thing or that the spirit is unfolding, respect those moments and let it blossom. But then there's another step. Both the morale and Rav Kook spend time expressing. They were teaching and expressing and speaking, or speaking in writing or speaking in other terms. Is the holy speech as well. Amnam, says Rav Kook, Ka'asher yitain lahadomiya et kvoda. When we respect the silence in its moments, ba'et hofa'ata, when it appears, as tanhighi et mishtara, then it will rule and it will do its thing. And let's skip there to the next point. The next underlined point. Umitocha totzi pe'erot, through that, through respecting the silence, then, we said, there will be a blossoming, then there will totzi pe'erot va'anafim ne'edarim b'koach tzomeach gadol v'ra'anan hasichim yimalu koach v'yavo niv sfatayim. That will lead to expression, to fruit. It's so beautiful. In Lashon HaKodesh, the word, right, for speech, niv svatayim, fruits of the lips, full, content-filled, meaningful words, expressing real ideas. That's the beauty then of the process. Step one, constraint, respect, not jumping in. Step two, that then, full expression, then afshar ledaber veledaber veledaber. Ela advarim ader ashadiver Moshe. The Medrash points out how at first Moshe was silent. He was a lowish dvarim anochi. But then later on, in its time, how ela advarim ashadiver Moshe diburim that are full, that are ripe, not remaining fixated in stage one, as we said. Not just the point here is not to remain fixated in silence. We don't have a whole year of cheshvan. But at the same time, in the moments of cheshvan, to respect the moments, to hear, to tap in, to connect with this idea, this concept being given over of silence. And as we started to mention before, it's a balance. And like every balance in life, like the balance between body and soul, or everything else that we're balancing how much energy we devote to ourselves as opposed to how much we devote to others, family and career and everything else that we're balancing. Like balance is challenging. It's something to think about. There's, right? Other is overflowing, you can say. There's an overflowing with speech and expression and laughter and out there. There's a balance between an other and the silence of cheshvan. I just thought, you know, any time a person speaks, they're speaking from where they're coming from. So something which I guess I think about a lot, because I on one hand, I appreciate expression, and at the same time, I've been privileged to meet people who have a majestic kind of a very content-filled silence as well. You know, is that something to balance? Something that something that I think about. And as I said, like many areas of balance, we keep on working on throughout life. And that brings us to finally to level three. After level, okay, level one, sur mira, removing ourselves from negative speech. Level two, a time for letting inner man develop and then moving on. Then you'll have a more powerful, content-filled, real, sophisticated, higher level type of speech. Level three that we wanted to speak about is, let's maybe, I think that these couple of words of the Kotzker at the bottom of the sheet sum it up in five words, like he did many times, summing up tremendous ideas in a very short, focused manner. Rav Menachem Mendel Mikotzker said, "Ein tzaka yoter gdola me'ashtika." The greatest tzaka, the greatest scream. There was I don't know if they're still around, a music distributor in America called Silent Scream, probably based on this Kotzker. He's a Jew, right? Jewish music distributor, so I say that seriously, I think it was. And I know the people involved have Hasidic meanings, so it probably was connected to this. Ein tzaka yoter gdola me'ashtika. The greatest form of expression, of yell, the greatest roar, the greatest yell is shtika. What does that mean? So sometimes, and within dafka, within expression, within the realm of expression, sometimes we find ourselves in situations here in this world where there's so much to say that we just can't find the words to say. I don't know about you. I remember sometimes being, after I mentioned before, I guess it's the last time we were together, even though it was on different sides of the Mechitza, back Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur time. So I remember sometimes after Yom Kippur in yeshiva, speaking with people outside of the yeshiva, and they say, I get that question afterwards, so how was Yom Kippur in yeshiva? And you end up answering, so this one daven shachris, and this one daven musaf, and musaf I was able to hear a lot more than I was able to hear Maariv the night before, and but I know on the inside what I was experiencing at certain moments of tefillah on Yom Kippur. Can I express? Can I put that into words? I can most accurately express it through silence, through shtika, beyond words. And that is part of the idea all the way on the left-hand side of the sheet, the giloy, the revelation to Eliyahu, and Sefer Melachim, the last couple of psukim, to save time, just from Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer tzei v'amadeta b'har lefnei Hashem, v'nei Hashem over, v'ruach, so there's, Hashem is revealing Himself to Eliyahu. And there are different stages here. Stage one is, there's v'ruach gdola v'chazak. At first there's a huge wind. V'ruach gdola v'chazak mefarek harim, breaking apart mountains, and m'shaber slaim, smashing the stones lefnei Hashem, but lo v'ruach Hashem. This was not it. This is not the point of the great revelation. V'achar haruach rash. After the wind, there was this tremendous, tremendous thunder, rash. Lo b'rash Hashem. V'achar harash, ish. This huge fire. Lo b'esh Hashem. V'achar ha'esh, kol demama. After everything. After the wind and the noise and the fire, kol dmama daka, silence, and this is where there was a gilui. Here, this is a point of the greatest exposure, mitzad Hashem, to Eliyahu, connection to Shechina, that Eliyahu was able to experience then. And this is often a process in life where we have some kind of exposure to, again, within the spiritual realm, exposure to something that we know it's beyond us. Sometimes it's moments. In different experiences in life. The example of moments of tefillah during Yom Kippur. Moments, I was privileged to be at a very special bris on Tuesday in Beit Shemesh. And it was beyond. Very, very special. Some of you may know, I see some Hask sweatshirts here. So some of you, Rav Judah Michelle from Camp Hask. We had twins, a boy and a girl, and the bris was on Tuesday. And very, very special moments. I remember there, I was thinking about that. I remember he was at the bris, Shlomo Katz. Some of you may be familiar with Shlomo Katz's music. I was privileged to be at Shlomo Katz's chuppah. He's here in Yerushalayim, overlooking the old city. And this is very, very special, special spiritual moments. Where there's tremendous orot, tremendous light. They don't have that kind of gilui on a day-to-day revelation of light day-to-day. But we have those flashes of light. And very often those flashes of light, which are beyond, again, it's like kind of a moments where you can't put it into words, that give us the direction along the way. As Rav Akiva Tatz describes very beautifully in his book, Living Inspired, this kind of a process. Be through the whole thing on your own, but we'll just point out specifically the part that's underlined. That is the secret of life. A person is inspired artificially at the beginning of any phase of life with this flare of light, but to acquire the depth of personality which is demanded of us, Hashem removes the inspiration. The danger is apathy and depression. The challenge is to fight back to the point of inspiration and in so doing to build it permanently into one's character. These great beyond moments. Or another example of this, the Gemara Nida Daf Lamed Amud Beis on the upper left-hand side of the sheet. We're all familiar with this idea that when the child is inside the womb, those are 9 months of Cheshvan. 9 months of silence. And during that time, then the child is connected to, again, whatever it means, but this very Kol HaTorah Kulo. The Gemara describes here a little bit of it. Let's pluck out a couple of lines. You'd be underlined. Ner Doluk Lo Al Rosho. The child has a candle on top of its head. And sees from one side of the world to the other side of the world. Those are the greatest days. Again, just the underlined parts. The kevan shaba al or haolam ba malach v'sotro al piv u'mishakcho kol haTorah kula. Ve'eino yotze misham ad shemashbin oto. The malach says to be a tzaddik and not umaya shvu shemashbin oto tehi tzaddik v'al tehi rasha. So that this moment, okay, the 9 months are over. This tremendous aur, his light is over. These tremendous moments of inspiration are over. Now acquire it on your own. And we have, as I said, scattered throughout life, throughout our journey here, these moments of this tremendous flare, this of the beyond. that light up the sky and give us direction. Direction for times of darkness, like we're in right now, like Am Yisrael is in right now. To be able to know, we know the end of the story. We don't know exactly how we're going to get there, but we know the end of the story. And to give us the energy, endurance, to keep on going. The months, the 12 months of the year, we said every month has a certain kind of a message, a personality, essence, are mashed up with another 12 that comes to mind, the 12 Shvatim. So there are different calculations that are used. One of them is that Chodesh Cheshvan is matched up with Menashe. At the birth of Menashe, Vayikra Yosef, et Shem HaBachor Menashe, ki nashani Elokim et kol amaliv et kol beit avi. Nashani Elokim et kol amali. Hashem, literally, Hashem made me forget all of the difficult times at my Beit Abba. And Rav Hirsch explains what this means. This is what he just forgot about his father, and that's it. He asked the question, what does this mean? That Yosef just forgot about his past? Ella, no. He explains that it's turned here, let's start from a little bit, two lines before it's on the line. Fortunately, however, to forget is not the only meaning of nasha. Nasha also means to be a creditor. And nashani can just as well mean Hashem has made my misfortunes and my family into creditors. What had seemed to me hitherto misfortune and mishandling, God has made the means to my attaining the greatest joy, so that I am deeply indebted to my misfortune and my family. In other words, here we have a kind of a turning around. I mentioned before, in the future, Be'ezat Hashem, we know that Av will be turned around. So sometimes we're in moments on the journey, moments of darkness. We don't see exactly what's going on. It's the Am Yisrael's in right now. But then all of a sudden, Yeshua Hashem Keherefayim, something comes along and turns it around, and then we look back and say, now we understand. Now we understand. Creditor, it turns in. We cash in on those moments. So transition and to back and specifically what we're talking about right now, Cheshvan, in this third level of Cheshvan, of the silence of the Otzma, the strength that's here in the silence of Cheshvan. Is we're at the beginning of a winter. The nights are getting longer. It's starting to get, it's not cold. We can't say that it's cold yet. We still have the AC on. But we're heading, it's starting to cool down, starting to get dark. And in this winter, we have, in this darkness, we're faced with challenges. We know where we're headed towards in the process. But we end up reaching there, cashing in through all of the very real effort that is put in during these moments of silence, away from all of the fanfare. I remember when we first got back our, this example, we first got back our wedding video. And the photographer on the video, the person who put together the video editor put in on their own at the end of the whole wedding, the end of the whole wedding, put in like the fade out scene. This is not the end, this is only the beginning. So you have sometimes this feeling of, mentioned during Rosh Hashanah, during Yom Kippur, all of the, you have thousands of people coming to Yerushalayim for slichos, for siurei slichot, and shofar blowing, Rosh, and all that, and then moving on to Sukkot and all the music of Simchat Beit HaShoeva, all that flash, that aspect of the flash of light. But yet we haven't really acquired for ourselves in an authentic, really from in a grassroots way, the Peirot. Our connection is after that, going back in the quiet moments, in the quiet moments of Cheshvan, going back, okay? Everybody, all of the guests, whoever visited over Sukkot, went back to Chutz Laretz, and we go back to our Beit Midrash, to our inside, back to our Sfarim. And in the beginning of the winter months, our building up now, our quietly, quietly, but here Dafka, in such a real way, real, it can't be put into words, way, develop our inner sechel and spiritual world. This is the Ein Tzaka Yoter Gdola Mehashtika. This is where it's real. This is where it's really happening. Mentioned we saw some words of Rav Kook. Rav Kook, when he had his yeshiva here in Yerushalayim, he had next to him, he also had, younger than him, but he ended up editing and putting out a lot of Rav Kook's svarim, the Nazir, famous Nazir, Rav David Cohen. One day Rav Aryeh Levin, the famous tzaddik Rav Aryeh Levin, came into the Beis Medrash. He was looking for Rav Kook, because he had a certain issue that he wanted to speak to Rav Kook about, and he wanted Rav Kook's advice. Came into Beis Medrash, and Rav Kook wasn't there. So he went over to the Nazir, sat down with the Nazir, Rav David Cohen, and he put the issue on the table and was asking advice. And the Nazir looked back at him and was silent. Shtika. 1 minute, 2 minutes. 3 minutes, 15 minutes. They sat there and the Nazir was silent. At the end of the 15 minutes, Rabbi Levine understood. On Saturday, he got up and said, okay, thank you very much, and he left. The next day, he came back to Beis Medrash, and Rav Kook heard that Rabbi Levine had been looking for him, so he said, Rabbi, you wanted something? So Rabbi Levine said to him, it's okay, I spoke with the Nazir, the Beseder, that's taken care of. So Rav Kook said, what was the issue? He ended up, Rabbi told him the issue, and Rav Kook said to him, so what did the Nazir tell you? So Rabbi said, he just sat there silently for 15 minutes, and by the end of the 15 minutes, it was clear, I understood what I should be doing. And Rav Kook said, Rav David Nazir says more in his silence than most people say with hours and hours of speech. So a silence, a content filled, is something, a content filled silence. Shtika ro'emet, the Ein Tzaka Yoter Gdola Me'ashtika, an expression, lo b'ra'ash Hashem, the kol d'mama daka. And Cheshvan is bringing us, is calling our attention to appreciate those very real moments. Very often at a wedding, before one of some of the most beautiful moments you have before the chuppah, before the chuppah, the badekin. And very, very often you see the chasen and the kala at that moment, and there are no words. I didn't remember exactly at my wedding. After the wedding, a little later, like a while after this, what did I say then when we? She looked at me and said, like, what can you say to Badekin? So sometimes some words come out, but then you feel anyway like I didn't really say anything. It's just moments here that we are beyond this world. So that combination, because I thought we finished, that combination of connecting sometimes to the beyond, but along with it being very real. Along with it being very, very real. Without all, again, a lot, without all the fanfare, all the lights and action, those moments of the fanfare are that's a different kind of nechon that has its place as far as it contributing to direction and light sometimes in a different kind of a way of knowing your appeal. But eventually what brings us, Menashe, what brings us eventually to crediting, to cashing in, to the fruits, for a couple months from now, at the end of the winter, when the trees are blossoming, we mentioned before, the words, niv sfatayim, fruits of our lips. What brings us to the sweetest, high quality fruits of expression of ourselves as Jews, of high quality young Jewish women filled with Torah, is being able to take a step back from that fanfare, being able to connect, to appreciate, to respect those. You saw in that other context of Maral and Rav Kook, of the silence, to be able to hear that sound of silence of Cheshvan, and then be able to create a balance within ourselves, within our lives, and then Bezat Hashem, we should hear the great here, Dafka, here, the Shofar HaGadol, that we're longing to hear, the great Shofar, then hear the music, the blast with the blossoming of the fruit of us as individuals developing, and Am Yisrael as a klal, as a group, overflowing with the sweetest fruits, the sweetest inner development of our spiritual world of Seichel and connection to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bezat Hashem, v'yeda kol po'ol. There'll be a shofar which will be heard, that a message which will be heard, a press conference that will give across the most real, genuine, authentic Dvar Hashem throughout the world, Bezat Hashem, b'korov b'yamin. Amen.